What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, you need a team of experts by your side every step of the way. With the largest and most experienced lung cancer team in South Jersey, MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper gives patients personal care, innovative treatments like robotic surgery, immunotherapy, and groundbreaking radiation treatment, all close to home. MD Anderson at Cooper. No one fights cancer alone. Appointments available in 48 hours. MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper.
Hi, this is Natalie Lander, voice of Kinsey, Tara Branford, Stargirl, and many others. You are listening to a W2Mnet podcast. You can visit W2Mnet.com for other podcasts about entertainment, video games, sports, and wrestling.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Konnichiwa! Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Talk to Keiki. I'm Matt, your host for the night, and this isn't a regular episode that we do weekly. This is, it's a special focusing on one series, well, the movies in particular, but we're going to talk about the series a little bit. And since my co-host has not watched the series, he is disqualified, shunned, pathetic, disgusted, pompous fucker. Anyway... join me is from the Chair Shot, a good friend of mine. I've known him for years. He's the one that got me my start. Andrew Belez. Andrew, how you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. And yeah, we really need to get that co-host of yours caught up with some of like the classic stuff, because this is important, man. This is one of the generational animes that like helped to pave the way and to mold some of the inspiration. So, can he even call himself a fan without knowing this anime?
Well, SFA, he's like a few years into anime, like 4 to 5, I think. He started when we were kids, or
so he's still a baby. He's still on the Pokemon Digimon kind of level.
As I say, that's why he's my kohai. but he does get passionate, and I do respect that for stuff he does talk about. So like it's nice to see. He's like, all right, okay, well, show off the old timer, don't you?
Damn, like, you kids, get off my anime lawn.
No, when we were doing the awards, when we were talking about the best couple, he was talking about Fruits Basket, and they went to be like, oh, go ahead, tell me about yours with the, you know, the 26-year-old and the 17-year-old. I was like, ah, well, put me on the spot, why don't you?
Welcome to anime,
I got it, but. Oh God! Like, well, God, when you put it like that, because I haven't watched Fruits Basket, so like it probably would have been mine, but there really wasn't a lot of like big ships except for that one in terms of chemistries and how it developed. That's why I picked them. Yeah. That I ship is so hard type of thing. Like, it was just they had a good dynamic. I was like, I kind of was this spot because with Higehiro, I didn't see a couple with them. With those two, it was just more of like a big brother little sister. But with the people in Koikimo, yeah, despite the whole age difference and the message, like, they still gel well together.
I mean, and not to mention one of the biggest ships in anime history is Inuyasha and Kagome, and he's like over 1,000 years old, and she's 14. So, like, come on.
Well, I don't want to talk about Sesshomaru and Rin.
Oh, there we go. There's that too. I was just bringing up
Jesus
the obvious
Christ.
One.
I am so glad I dropped that sequel. Like, it did not feel like Inuyasha. Well, except for Inuyasha's daughter, but anyone else, no. That no one else. Like, it was not the same. I didn't care about Sesshomaru's kids. Talk to kids.
Yeah, I didn't have high hopes for it, and the fact that the buzz died down real quick. I'm like, yeah, not going to watch that one.
Anyway, this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about Neon Genesis Evangelion, a show that came out in 1995.
Correct.
Like, near and dear to our hearts. It's been many years since I've seen it. So I probably really can't describe what happened that much. But watching the movies, maybe want to rewatch that series as a good refresher.
Yeah, I had the same kind of feeling, even though I think Netflix redubbed it. So I've heard the redub is good. But the irony is that the movie cast is from the original dubbing. So, right. Like, Spike Spencer is Shinji to me, and he always has been, because I don't think the dub is that cringy, honestly. Or it's, you know, the right levels of whiny cringe, Shinji being a bitch. So, like, it's just, it sounds right to me. I haven't given the Netflix for a chance yet.
Oh, wow. I'll eventually, but this is basically this left a huge impact in the culture.
Impact.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
What? But, it was a topical word. It was a good word.
I know.
It's like Pee-wee's Playhouse. Like, wow, you said the word. The chairs talk. The alligator ships out. Like, whatever happened.
Yeah, but no. Again, very popular. Influenced a lot of shows. Like, you call it Argento Soma, Generator Gall, Die Guard. Koi Koi 7, Steven Universe, Rick and Morty. Hell, fucking My Little Pony.
I mean, there's even other older, like Razaphon. Razaphon was basically always called Evangelion, just watered down, or like Evangelion for girls. Like, you know, the old early 2000s kind of way of referring to things. Yeah. Big O. Big O takes a couple.
Gurren Lagann.
Gurren Lagann, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gurren Lagann, definitely.
Serial Experiments Lane, which I still have to watch.
God, I haven't watched that in so long. I thought you were going to say
that. It came up as a recommendation after Wonder Egg Priority before I got disappointed.
Okay, yes.
Oh, God. I yelled at that for about an hour. I can't do that again.
I remember that episode, yes.
Oh, God. That was terrible. I was so upset. I was fully erect and then with Flaccid. It was never the same.
Yeah, that's never good, man.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Not even Blue Shoe can help.
I mean, it might. It might. Maybe if it had one of those, like, Viagra, like, rebounds, where it's, like, that 4 hours, then you have to call a doctor. Maybe it's, like, 4 hours, then just watch Wonder Egg. Then you'll be fine.
Oh, God. I don't even want to picture that. But anyway, we said we were talking about Evangelion a little bit before the movies. But, again, it's a big cultural thing, especially the genres, like, especially mechs. Stories, characters, like popular Asuka is the...
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
More well-known Tsundere next to Taiga.
Yeah, and Rin from Fate's Day Night.
Yeah.
Like Rin Tosaka, Asuka Langley, and Taiga. Yeah, they're probably the top three Tsunderes.
Yeah. Well, I like Kaguya from Love is War. She counts.
Sure, but she doesn't quite have the same history that these others do.
No. But I'm saying for a current timeline, she's like taking that torch. But the classics, these are it. I still have to watch the torch.
That's not bad.
My friend loves it. Like, he loves it to death, and he keeps telling me to watch it. So I'm going to tell you. You know what?
My take is it's not as good as Clan Ed, but it's pretty damn good.
I love Clan Ed.
And it's like, I think I like Toradora way more than Angel Beats, too. So I don't know if you watched Angel Beats at all, but
I did enjoy it.
I was a little more lukewarm on Angel Beats, so that's why I would say, like, Toradora, I like that better.
Well, eventually I'll watch it because I said I would finish Fruits Baskets before I pick up anything else.
Fair.
Because I want to finish that before the end of the year to see if it'll go in my awards for the year, the last season. But eventually, a few weeks ago, they released the fourth Evangelion movie. And since, he told me about it, I was like, you know what? We're going to, instead of writing about it or him writing about it, like, you know what? Come to the show. We'll talk about all of it together.
Yes.
And here we are.
There we go. Yeah. So let me frame it this way. How long ago has it been since you watched Neon Genesis? Because I doubt you watched it like right away. So like, did you give it a couple years? Did you borrow some of these VHSs?
I would probably be when I was like 15, 16, so like about 15 years.
Okie dokie. So yeah, I think it's roughly the same because I think I watched it in the end of high school because I actually borrowed my buddy's VHS tapes. And then, you know, I love that. I love that anime so much.
Right.
Like early internet, like I was on a message board that was totally fan devoted to Evangelion called AvaMaid. And everything was cool because you got to see like the beginning where people would leak the Japanese stuff from like the Shinji Ikari Raising projects and some of the offshoot games that didn't make it over to the States and like Girlfriend of Steel and stuff like that. So it was really cool just, you know, the message board interactions and watching everybody kind of just geek out over the same
thing.
So Ava was definitely kind of influential in kind of getting me involved in at least the internet kind of aspects.
Right.
And of course, fanfic.net, like who doesn't love and hate fan?
Now we got the doujins among us.
Oh, that's the new one? Oh, I kind of fell out of how the fanfic generation went.
Yeah, especially for Love is War.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, but usually I don't read doujins or hentai or any of that. But I was like,
Oh no, fanfic was written, so at least it wasn't the visual doujins that I think that I know what you're talking about now.
It
was just a bunch of cringy people kind of putting their OTP and their original character in with their favorite character,
and then their odd ship-ins.
Of course, that's OTP.
Weird fetishes.
Damn right, like Pen Pen Asuka all the way, because you know Pen Pen was actually just God embodied in a penguin. You think I'm joking, but there was
I instantly believe you. I don't even need to look, I just believe you. I don't need anything else. But anyway, this is more of a rebuild of the Evangelion series, more or less, for a different telling of a story. And yeah, this was from basically 2007 to now. So yeah, about 14 years for four of these movies.
About as old as the pilots were when the whole concept started is as long as it's been since 1 and 4 came out. At least in this. Yeah, between the Japanese release and what just happened, because
they even said 14 years since that last gap.
God, we could have had a whole new pilot in that time. I mean, technically we did. There we go. That's a way to look at it.
More or less, yeah.
All right, so
let's get to the meat of it.
Yeah, as I said, let's get to the meat of it. Where to kind of start in reverse one. A little bit. That the good thing about the rebuild, the good thing about the rebuilds is the fourth movie did prove to us that the rebuilds technically follow the Neon Genesis Evangelion storyline.
Right.
Because at the end, when Shinji and Rei were talking, you saw it go through the old intros for Neon Genesis 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, 3.0 plus 1.01. And that kind of tells you the storyline that they're trying to get across. And to then go to the beginning made a lot of sense, because after Third Impact happened in Neon Genesis, the water was no longer blue, it was red. And in the first movie, the water was red to begin with. And right. blue water was like some kind of weird myth that the kids never grew up with.
Basically, yeah.
So I like the fact that it kind of handheld us at the end to kind of prove where this rebuild comes in with the Neon Genesis storyline.
And how it like actually fits in.
Oh, it fits in so wonderfully because it hits so many of the old marks with a little bit of a twist here or there from, you know, Unit 1 going berserk. Like, even people that don't know Evangelion still know the big purple robot going crazy, like attacking stuff and, you know, doing his wonderful MMA attack. And then I think in Neon Genesis, Unit 1 was the one that went a little berserk in the hangar, but this time it was Rey's Unit 0, which then you got to see a little bit of Gendo getting humanized when he cared and ran to the pod to try to save Rey.
Yeah, like what actually... Like, you saw what he was actually, like, feeling type of thing.
Correct. So, like, this was an interesting rebuild for the fact that it gave Gendo oddly human beats. Because if you remember Neon Genesis, everybody hated Gendo. Gendo was, like, the worst dad. And he was just such a prick. And he's just such a dirty bastard that he was just completely beyond, I guess, you know, reprieve. And this rebuild really helped to kind of get across the fact that Gendo wasn't much different than Shinji. Gendo just had his own approach, and Gendo really just had one wish, kind of, when it all came down to it.
Yeah,
and it's kind of sweet and selfish, but sweet at the same time. So I don't know.
He just went about it the wrong way, because again, it was the only person he really ever cared about. The
wrong way, though.
I mean, with how.
Everything ended.
So I throw away my humanity, Shinji.
But is he the best dad or is he the worst dad? Because if you see everything ended, you know, the way it ended, did not give the whole finish.
I know.
Just yet. But like, that puts a different light on Gendo, because everybody's like, he's such a bitch. Like, he set this whole thing up, like, you know, the Ayanamis and the Shikanamis, which is Asuka's new last name, which makes some more sense now as all the movies came out. And like, Shinji had a part to play, and he was just this gigantic chess game of just making sure that these impacts happened and he could get to one thing and, you know, everybody could end happy in a way.
Right. I really can't. I really don't know how to explain it.
It's twisted, but like, Gendo was kind of, it's kind of like what Toji's sister said in the fourth movie, where Shinji was both their savior and their destroyer all in one. Gendo was very similar.
They're like father, like son, I guess.
Uh-huh. And that was really a big thing that I noticed through all four of the movies, is they really pushed the Gendo-Shinji kind of parallel, where, you know, Shinji kind of wanted to get to know his dad pushed back a little bit, and then when they had their moments, you saw similarities. Gendo even admitted to a similarity between the two of them at different points.
Right.
And the whole Rey thing, from when Unit Zero goes crazy, then when Rey tries to protect him, after the sixth angel debacle, if we want to call it that, then Rey is in the pod again, and Shinji runs over to her plug and
then tries to pull takes her out it out the same way.
Exactly the same. So it's like, it really was heavy-handing the whole Gendo and Shinji way more alike than we want to believe them.
Yeah, and they did this, they've done this perfectly to actually make us see that.
Did you like the fact that Toji was no longer the random sacrifice pilot?
This did work. Misato, yeah. But it was like, come on, no.
not the Misato one. Remember how in the series Toji was supposed to be the fourth angel, or the fourth Eva pilot? And then that's when the Eva went berserk, or what, got possessed by the angel, and then he died? But Asuka that piloted that one.
Oh, okay.
They kept Toji completely.
I guess that made more sense in terms of Asuka and Shinji in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like that does fit more.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is one of the things I would say. Yeah, they did that better. So just a random Toji, you got Asuka.
Yeah, and logically it did make sense that the European leg shut down Unit 2 because they had the rights to say when the Japanese branch could use it and not, and they said not to. So Asuka was kind of left without an option. So,
you got no options here.
Exactly. So it was kind of cool, the fact that they brought that whole thing around. How did you like the personality shifts? Because now we're moving into the second movie, and I love the fact that the movie was called You Cannot Advance, because it right. seems like every child, or every person, because even Masato comes into play with this one, every time they had some kind of character growth, something happened to just stagnate it, stifle it, and have them go way back to the beginning. Like, right. Rei and Shinji started getting affectionate, Rei tried to learn how to cook, and then the angel attack happened. Yeah, Asuka got a little affectionate and jealous, and then the angel attack happened after she confides in Masato about kind of being okay with her place in life and being alone and yada, yada, yada. And then that whole thing happens, which kind of, you know, we see in the next couple movies that it changes her personality a bit. And, you know, Shinji went from just not wanting to pilot things to then being just on autopilot. Then he just wants to protect Rei, which then screwed over Asuka, which that was kind of an interesting way of kind of Asuka feeling jilted, that it proved that Shinji liked Rei way more than her, and Misato trying to push away from Kaji and do what her father wanted for the whole nerve thing. And then with everything that happened, she just ends up kind of back in Kaji's arms at the end and kind of falling into the same trap that her father did with the whole, you know, nerve and second impact issue.
Right. But no, I guess there's more of, I understand like how they do get this development, but go back because except for Ayanami, like Shinji and Asuka, they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely kids. We all know Shinji was a whiny pussy little bitch.
True.
We all know and love him.
Yeah, Spike Spencer did a good job, man.
Oh god, I just cannot picture anyone else voicing him. It had the right tone with how he would act, especially with how he was feeling.
Did you find anything interesting? Try to stay within the confines of the second movie. Don't take from information from 3 and 4. But did you find it interesting how informed Asuka and Mari were when they get introduced, and how they just knew everyone and everything, and Mari even knew the sub command to get Unit 2 to go beast mode?
Yeah, that was definitely different in the fact with that. I guess they thought it was more fitting to do it that way. So
I could see it. I definitely thought it was weird that Asuka knew that Rei was just nothing more than a pet or a doll,
basically,
from the first time. Like, there was no awkwardness, there was no thinking she was a kid.
Or, like, no looking into her info or finding out from other people.
Correct.
Just assumed, like, yeah, fuck you.
Oh, you. You're Gendo's kid, and you're the pet, you're this. It's like, wow. It's like, okay, Asuka. How much research did you do? Shit.
Yeah. Well, she was from another, she was from a different division, so she probably did some background
check. She was from a different anime, apparently. She was from, like, the Jackie Chan Adventures, because Uncle made her do some research.
Yeah.
She knew everything. Like, holy shit.
I guess she wanted to be very thorough with where she was going to go next.
I suppose.
But, man, don't all these angles feel weird to you?
I mean, They did, but I love how the second movie was, because I feel like it was complete in the fact that you kind of saw resolutions, and we saw the beginning of Third Impact at the end of the movie.
Right.
And it's like, that's kind of where we left off before Instrumentality and Neon Genesis, so it's like,
right.
It still felt very familiar, and it still was really cool, and it was nice seeing all of the characters come into play and how their personalities changed. But God, that third movie. Holy shit.
Well, we'll get to that in a bit. Did you see the after credit of the second one?
Maybe. Which one was that one?
Where, it takes place, like, after, like, the third impact. You see the spear go through Unit 1. Like, death from above type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, like, that was there. I'm not crazy.
No, you weren't, because then that kind of is part of what played into three with where where some of the spears came from. But did you have anything you took from the second one that we haven't talked about yet, or even the first, if you want to go back to like the part that was really more or less the retelling of the Neon Genesis story with a couple tweaks?
Yeah, it was a nice retelling. It was a good refresher. That's all I really saw what the first movie was. Mm-hmm. And it worked. Like that, I think that was the right move to do it for the first one before I get into making bigger tweaks for the rest.
Big tweak. Jesus Christ. This is a whole ass like Vince Russo level of swerve. Like
they just wrote a different script, different.
They just wrote the script in a different language. They're just like, and now it's French. It's like, what the fuck happened here? Like, this is not, we start off with some kind of like space battleship Yamato kind of fucking thing. And I'm just like, it was cool. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, what am I even watching? And then like, you know, Misato. Like,
is the captain of a ship.
Oh yeah.
And they all said, fuck Gendo. He's on his own.
Yeah,
Ray's gone, or Ayanami.
Mm-hmm. Ray's apparently gone. Shinji randomly came out of... The first time I watched this a couple years ago, I wasn't sure if he came out of the cross-shaped box thing that Mari and Asuka were fighting in the beginning.
Right.
Or if he came directly out of Unit 1. And I'm just like, oh, so he came out of Unit 1, which they were using as an engine. So that's kind of awkward. Out of nowhere, it's like, and now there's a kid. It's like, okay, that's different. Yeah. How come did he just appear out of the LCL?
Yep, and then Asuka wanted to kill him, basically.
Which, I get that. She was
for 14 years. It's like, hey, I kind of crushed you. No hard feelings, right?
yeah. Like,
and then, yeah, it's just Ray kind of, well, not Ayanami anymore, technically. This, like in this Shinji, how Shinji find out that basically Ayanami was the clone of the mother, this traumatizing Shinji.
Over a game of shogi.
Yes, like nonetheless.
Fuyutsuki is a clever motherfucker of all things. Like the one time he actually gets like really like genuine screen time, he's just like, do you know shogi? And he's like, guess what? This is what your mom looked like. Your dad lied about not having pictures and she looks like Ray, right? Ray's a clone. Fuck you. And it's like, what the fuck?
There's multiple of them. So I do wish there was more Gent. There was a more Kaoru.
Kaoru was nice, but you know what I loved? In a weird twisted way with Kaoru and Shinji's interaction. It reminded me of during Neon Genesis when Asuka and Shinji basically had to play DDR and learn how to get synchronized in a dance because they had to defeat an angel in tandem.
Right.
And this was similar because Kaoru was teaching him how to play the piano so they could work together.
Yeah. Like, I gotta say that whole scene was just gorgeous, animated.
Oh yeah, animation wise, it was gorgeous. But just the kind of slight callback to the tandem dance in Neon Genesis, and this is more like Pacific Rim Kaiju double pilot plug. And I'm like, okay, it's kind of cool, kind of like that.
Right.
But yeah, Kaoru didn't get nearly enough screen time in the third one.
I really wish there was more. But the times he was there, I will say, yeah, I did enjoy him. That's why I wanted more.
Agreed. I kind of did like the fact that I feel like the third movie was supposed to be disjointed and confusing for not only Shinji, but like the Watcher, because mm-hmm. everything moved so quickly and you went from space fight to Shinji's back to Toji's sister's okay and she's there. And now Ayanami's not Ayanami and, you know, boom, boom, boom. It just moved so fast that it was really hard to wrap your head around what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
And then when Kaoru shows him the near third impact and how then they start throwing out those Lilin kind of names of like the child of Lilith and the child of Adam. And they really steered into like the biblical aspect of like, you know, the seed of knowledge, the seed of life. And it was interesting because they didn't really lay it on that heavily in Neon Genesis. Like, it was obvious there were angels, there was an Adam, there was Lilith, that whole kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they didn't give the spawn a name like Lilin, and it didn't turn into like an insult like Asuka kind of used it as a few times.
Right.
So I just, it was really, as much as I think the third one is the weakest movie, it was fun for the way it set up the fourth.
Right. Like while it wasn't great, it was still important.
Correct. And it's something I noticed in the first couple, and the third movie kind of confirms it. I don't know if you noticed it. Did you notice on Shinji's Walkman, or Gendo's Walkman, however you want to really refer to it?
Right.
The first movie and halfway through the second movie, it kept toggling between song 25 and 26.
Yeah, I did see there was like a kind of like a repeat type of thing. Yeah.
And then halfway through, it goes to 27. And then after Kaoru fixes it in this movie, it goes to 28. Because there were 26 episodes in Neon Genesis Evangelion. Right. 25 and 26 were the instrumentality kind of stuff. So I took that kind of as the little hint that this is continuing the storyline, even before we got to the end, kind of proving that. So halfway through movie two is episode 27. Movie three is episode 28.
Right. Okay.
And yes, yeah, there is that, a 29 that, in the...
Yeah, I didn't see the 28, but again, I did see the little skip type of thing. Okay, that's clever.
Yeah, I thought that was like a really cool, just like little Easter egg they threw in there for the Walkman.
I like that, actually.
Plus, growing up in the early, and, you know, growing up in the 90s, like, I wonder what kind of Walkman he had that it had A, a digital readout, and B, 30 songs worth of space. Like, what the fuck was that, man?
I was going to say, like, I'm pretty sure there's an 80-minute limit on these CDs.
Yeah, these are the shortest songs in the world.
Or, yeah, like, there's no way you're going to fit that many songs on an 80-minute CD. The fuck out of here.
That's my only real question. Like, I like the Easter egg, but I'm like, you know, I was alive during the 90s when Walkmans were kind of a thing, and then you had the CD version. I'm like, I don't remember there ever being space for, like, 30 songs.
I'm like, I had to burn, like, 4 CDs for the stuff I wanted, so...
Exactly. And the fact that you only had 2 sides of a cassette, that's even less space than a CD's. It's like, right. How short are these songs? I need to know.
Or they probably, I don't know.
The magic of Japanese, you know, engineering and science made the best cassette ever.
Japan had all the cool shit, so.
Yes, that's what it was. They're just ahead of us. The Panasonic Sony special edition cassette could actually hold, you know, 120 minutes worth of songs. We just didn't have it over here.
And it's like, hey, can we have that? It's like, no, why? It's like, you know what you did.
You know what you did. Jeez. It's like, hey, you know what you did. You did worse off. It's
like, all right, that's on me. I set the bar too high. but goddamn, poor Shinji being traumatized with the head explosion.
Oh yeah, the way
Kaoru, right in front of him.
I don't understand how he was still so blind to the fact that Kaoru told him not to do it. Something's not right. Asuka said don't. Misato
yeah,
said,
and then, hell, they were fighting. That's why they were fighting.
Yes, everybody except Gendo and Ayanami, because she was programmed to listen to orders, said not to do it. And Shinji's like, fuck it, I'm gonna fix everything.
I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, it's like, there's a reason why this movie is called You Cannot Redo, because you fucked up.
Oh, well, they're not Subaru, so he could redo.
Hey, that's a
I know.
But yeah, so it was, plus, at least, you know what, the going into the fourth movie, it's cool that I understand now why they referred to that as Near Third Impact.
Right.
Because I was so utterly confused at why it was N3I until we found out that Kaji sacrificed himself to stop the third impact, and that as long as there is a sacrifice, the impact will stop.
Right.
So I guess that's also why fourth impact wasn't caused by Shinji pulling out the spears, because then Kaoru died.
Yeah, more or less, yeah. I think he knew that.
I think Kaoru knew that, because he's just like the first angel becomes the 13th angel. Ah, shit. Blow me up.
Like, lol, want to see a cool trick?
Yeah. Blow me up, fam. Boom. Oh. There's red everywhere. This must be how Kurt Cobain felt. What, too soon?
No.
Against him or something like
that.
It's topical. That's how I look.
So the baby killed Kurt Cobain is what you're saying.
Shinji was the baby, and that's why he killed Kaoru.
And that's why he fucking cried.
Damn right. Yes, that's why he just wasn't the same for, I don't know, half of
ever.
The first movie.
It's been 30 years. You have to let me go.
Yeah, never. All because you do my art show. What? I don't know. Muffin button? Wait.
It's like Benoit going, why didn't you tap out? If you did, we'd be together.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We're falling off the rail.
No. This is all topical with Evangelion. Anything off the rails is on the rails. It's Ava.
at least it's not Erica 7.
My God, Eureka 7. Holy shit.
Oh, God. My brother hated it.
It depends on which version he saw, because I think the Fox version was like edited and ridiculous, if I remember correctly.
Well, no, he saw it on Adult Swim.
Oh, okay, because I know
so he hated how everyone was fucking crying every episode.
Yeah,
it's like if someone had a hug or said hello, they would be traumatized.
It's serious business. You don't understand Japan, man.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you know, you're right, but shut up.
But yeah, the third movie was crazy, and I appreciate it for what it set up, but watching that, it is probably the only movie that doesn't really stand alone.
Right.
Like, it's the only one that needs the fourth
Everything.
Movie.
Otherwise, it would have been very anticlimactic with it.
True.
It's like, oh, like, is this how we end it? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, what?
people will be throwing pitchforks and all that.
I don't know. Being in the Evangelion fandom as long as I have, I'm pretty sure there would still be plenty of people trying to like overanalyze and like deep dive into everything and find out why it's actually the perfect ending if that was actually the last one.
Oh, that's every fandom.
But Evangelion's way more pretentious.
Evangelion
is that whole elitist, well, you're not smart enough to understand the depression and the psychoanalyzation that goes on in all of these children. I am, though.
It's like, well, because of this, I got depressed, so...
why did the world blow up? Why does this happen? He was sad. Wow, how profound. Thank you.
it's like he just wanted a hug. Teenagers, mind you.
But because Gendo put up his AT field, no one could have a hug, and that's why the world blew up. Sadly, that is kind of how the whole show ends.
I almost spat my drink.
Good, that was my intent.
God damn it. Also, I had to give the whole movie a 0 out of 10. I didn't get my congratulations scene.
I'm so happy we didn't get that meme.
No, it was a...
Congratulations!
No, I won! We played it for our friend after he got laid. Meanwhile, no, really, he had sex at a cuddle party at the last RodeoCon, and we all did the whole congratulations like that.
That's fantastic. That's a wonderful use of meme, because that was obviously a meme before the word was even invented, because, yes, I could tell you from... early 2000s fandom, everybody hated that and used that purely to troll somebody. Like, if they made the most obvious observation about anything, people would just like pull up the gif or some kind of clip of congratulations, yeah, you fit, good job, aren't you proud, good job, yeah, congratulations.
Oh god, I wonder if someone played that during Trump or Biden's presidency.
Jesus Christ, this is the darkest timeline. It doesn't even matter which one.
For both. Yeah. I fucking hate it here.
We need a third. Or I'll even take a near third impact. I'll be the sacrifice. Just let me die, goddammit.
Just don't blow your head up in front of me. I don't think I can take it.
Fair enough. But yeah.
But so. Before we talk about the movie, I was going to say, they love their fucking tits and ass.
Oh, of course they do. And
like, oh my god, they're very, like, you knew in the original, but...
Well, let me just put it this way. At least Shinji wasn't jerking off over top of Asuka's body anymore. He's grown up. He's evolved. No, we're not using that as a sign of evolution.
It's okay. Now he jerked off to his clone mother.
No. Better, because then we've got the new pilot who we didn't even really talk about. And she's the best goddamn thing about this movie. Mari Makanami, illustrious.
Right. Oh my god.
Just the way she describes herself too, when she just kind of pops in to see Shinji, and she's like, guess who? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like, let me give you a hint. Glasses, big boobs, brown hair. And it's just
she was a treat. My God.
It's like, not only does she fall into that Magane kind of trope that everybody loves in anime, but her personality was just so different.
It was very noticeable. And Asuka,
that it was nice. Like, it was, she was the most normal as
for someone her age,
fucked up as, just as stretched and fucked up as that sentence is about somebody being normal in the Evangelion kind of world. She was calm yet intuitive. She was like always on top of the fight without being aggro like Asuka. And she kept it fun. She kept it light. She kept it fluid. Singing her little songs and all that other stuff.
She had her own motives. Like, oh yeah, they think they're using me, but I'm using them with all this. So.
Oh, that was the best line that she had. Where I forget, was
the
it self-destruction?
I think it was when the self-destruction.
Was it Ritsuko or was it Kaji that said something about, I feel dirty using children to, you know, for adults, you know,
I think it was Kaji. And there's like,
I think it was Kaji.
Yeah. And then she said, I hate using adults.
Yeah. So then she just reverses it. And it's like, wow. Okay. Like, she's just like, I just want to blow shit up. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah. Just don't blow me up inside. Yeah.
Exactly.
But anyway, again, it's just every angle. Like, it's more noticeable than a harem rom-com.
But it's good because it wasn't a harem, even though all of the girls had an interest in Shinji to some degree.
But Misato was like a mother figure.
A little more than that.
I know, but like she was like, I don't, but.
I mean, if we want to go back to End of Evangelion when they kissed, and then Kaji even poked fun at her, and Ritsuko poked fun at her about how when Shinji started living with her, and then she's just like, well, you lived with a man before. And she's like, this is different. And Ritsuko's like, is it? And Misato's just like, shut the fuck. It's like, and they were, you know, they were oddly close. They always have been. So it's one of those interesting things where Misato was like the hot teacher from like a rom-com kind of anime where you're just
she's technically a MILF. So
now, well, yeah, as we got to the second half of these, yes. But it's nice. It was nice because all of the women had different reasons to be drawn to Shinji, but not like just lording over him and lusting.
Or pitting him down, say, hey.
Yeah, even though I did get a little annoyed at like 80% of Asuka's shots were just like her in panties just rolling back and forth.
Hey, while in a t-shirt.
Yeah, and I'm just like, at some point, I'm just like, A, she has to put clothes on, and B, is this just budget constraint? Like, just wanted to use the same thing of her playing her little whatever it was, like DS or Game Boy of some sort, and just rolling around.
They're like, we're giving those angles to Mari while
exactly.
Ainami just had the boobs.
Yeah, well, she also had that whole wonderful mannequin, like the million mannequin march towards the end.
Oh God. Let's get to that.
Yeah.
But I liked where how it started with Mari getting her own like in her own fights while Shinji, Asuka, Ainami just go to this village while Shinji sulks like normal. A typical Friday for Shinji Ikari.
Yes, basically.
But I liked how Ainami was getting along with the village, the older woman type of thing. He's like, you only orders. Let Granny slap some ass and tell you how to work.
Yeah, it was definitely that weird slice of life kind of aspect. But I don't know. Like, I always felt odd about that with how clueless that, you know, original batch was because you know, Miss Lookalike or whatever you want to refer to her as. But
Shadow the Hedgehog.
Because
I found you, Faker.
It was endearing, I suppose, but it was just. It was a little taxing. That's probably the nicest way I could put it, where she just asked questions about everything. And it wasn't until she learned enough and she started using it towards Shinji and Asuka that it kind of, it started hitting a little different.
Yeah. And then eventually, first it was like, she kind of did like shut down for like a moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
When she thought about staying, right? Yeah. It's like, oh no, you don't.
Yep, and then it's like, oh, well, I guess there's a malfunction. You can't live outside of Nerve. Oh, great. All right.
So and that's like, hey, Shinji, we need to talk. What? Was he a magic trick?
Boom!
I'm not the real Ayanami. Like, I can't be here. But anyway, goodbye.
Mm-hmm. And I love how that was what it caused for Shinji to just kind of be like, you know what, fuck it, we're ending this. Like, I'm sick of watching people die in front of me.
Yeah.
But tell me the cold, calculated yup and then taser gun from Asuka wasn't fantastic, right?
Oh
now.
My god, yes.
It's like she just knew, and she's just like, I'm gonna help too. And Asuka's like, yup, I have to do this. It's like, what the fuck?
You're coming with me.
That was cool. And it was also nice to see Toji and Kensuke made it out okay, and Hikari and Toji, you know, right. They shipped them together like everybody in the old fandom one.
Right. Because, and they actually got it.
Yeah. So there was a little bit of, I guess, fan service to the old Neon Genesis fans, and Kensuke kind of being interesting, I suppose, because I always thought it was weird when Asuka and Kensuke first interacted after, you know, the 14 years passed and she was calling him Ken. I'm just right. Like, that's not an Asuka line. That's very affectionate and very cutesy. So
yeah.
The fuck happened here?
pretty much, yeah. But anyway, I gotta say, I love every time Shinji and Gendo were on screen together after the whole confrontation.
Oh, yeah. And that fight was cool, too.
I was like, and they're like, you know, like, you're not silenced by fighting. That's when they did, like, you're right. That's why they did the whole talk. And I loved the talks. Like, I loved...
It was like, really cool, though, to watch him fight in, like, different spots, like Misato's apartment and then, like, the school.
Right?
And just
and randomly, then the village, yeah.
Randomly just like, you know, none of this is real, so we can do whatever the fuck we want. And it's like, oh, cool! I'm gonna fight in the bathtub! It's like, what the fuck is going on here?
I was like, well, you've been a dirty boy, so let's clean you up.
Exactly. So, yeah, but the talk was really nice. Like, it was really interesting. And it was cool because we finally learned
that human side of
The human side of Gendo and who Mari was too.
Right.
Like the fact that Mari finally made sense and it all happened within like the last 20 minutes of the last movie.
Very much, yeah.
Like, and it didn't feel rushed, it felt right. Where, you know, she approaches Fuyutsuki during the last fight, calls him Professor. He refers to her by an older name, calling her Mari Iscariot. And then we see when Gendo's going through his little flashbacks of school life with Yui and Fuyutsuki, Mari was there. And Mari's the one fucking with him, taking the headphones off and poking at him and having fun. So Mari somehow was like the original cursed Eva child, or maybe an insurance policy kind of
set for
Yui. Because maybe that's why she was referred to as Iscariot, because maybe Yui knew something wasn't going to work out right. So
maybe.
It was Mari's job just to kind of make sure the pieces fell into place, playing the Judas to Gendo's, you know, God complex, Jesus complex, whatever you want to call it.
Right. But I got to say, that Yui head was fucking creepy.
Oh, you mean the real one where they weren't even animating it anymore and it was live action?
Yeah, that. I was like, I felt so uncomfortable.
Like, that was definitely way more uncomfortable than the first time we saw them do the Ray heads and stuff like that. Just like, that's creepy. And I loved how the little the pink haired girl on the ship said like exactly what everybody was thinking during that point too, where she's like, what the hell is this? This is nuts.
Yeah, like, this is on purpose.
Like, yeah, Jesus Christ. Ugh. That's crazy.
Yeah,
and then, again, it comes back to what we were talking about in the beginning. Is Gendo the worst father, or is he the best father?
That's such a tricky question.
Because he may have gone about it in fucked up ways, but he ended up going with his wife, and Shinji got his wish to live in a world with no Evangelions and grow up, and Rei was happy, Asuka's happy with Kensuke, and Mari is happy with Shinji, and they run off, you know, up the steps and into reality together. So Gendo won. Gendo achieved what he wanted to.
Yeah, and more or less, yeah.
So, and it ended up really good for everybody.
Hey, like, yeah, Shinji got best girl as a goddamn.
And it was nice to also just watch Shinji grow up in the last like 30, 40 minutes of the movie too.
Yeah, like actually sounding like an adult type of thing.
Even Asuka had to admit it. That was the best part during Little Interrogation, where she's just like, do you know why I tried to hit you? And he's just like, because I did nothing. He's like, I didn't try to save you. I didn't try to hurt you. I just froze and I was useless. And she's just like, oh, wow, you did learn something.
And then Shinji was like, well, bye. Hey, not seeing you again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, sorry for doing nothing. Bye.
But she got ejected, so she's happy with Kensuke. Like, we didn't see it, really, but it was implied.
But I think it was that Ayanami and
Kaoru were talking on the other side of the train platform.
Yeah, like the clones or whatever.
Yeah, the interesting children. Let's just put it that way.
Pretty much.
Because, I mean, you would have to think Rei's her own person in that version of Shinji's world.
Yeah.
Because Yui and Gendo sacrificed themselves together and by impaling themselves on the spear.
And they don't exist in that world.
Correct. And neither do Evangelion. So
yeah.
Rei must actually be her own person. And maybe Kaoru's not an angel because there's no Evas.
Yeah, he's also his own person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really is an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, but, you know, as a longtime fan of the series and everything, it was nice to watch a happy end. Not just an implicit happy ending, not a goofy one like at the end of Genesis.
We got actual closure.
Yeah, it felt like real closure, and the fact that Mari is a connection back to Gendo and Yui without having to be a clone or some weird twisted kind of thing, and it's just that she was friends with them and now she's with Shinji. Like, mm-hmm. it brings it all full circle that somehow, like, Gendo and Yui are still kind of looking out for Shinji in this new world that he created.
With how all these movies came out, like how they were set up, would you do this with extra stuff as a rebooted series to have it more fleshed out?
I don't really think you need to do anything else with it. Like, this tied it up in a bow pretty nicely.
I bet, like, if they somehow decided to do, like, hey, we're going to make a remake the series type of thing, would you do this type of plot but more fleshed out in the span of 26 episodes?
I don't know. I mean, I don't see the need, or was this,
it got the right amount of timeline for all four movies?
I think everything was fine. Like I said, with three is awkward, but it's better as a movie than it would be as multiple episodes that you have to sit through. Because
right.
Could you imagine three being a 90-minute movie, or if it's five episodes in the middle of a 26-episode series?
Right.
Like, that could be enough to confuse somebody and just get them to stop watching. Because it's a lot harder to sit through five episodes than it is four movies. Because you know that movie one and movie four tie up the story. So, like, you need to get from point A to point B. So even if the third movie's a little weird, you have faith that the fourth movie is going to fix it.
Right.
You can't really always say that about a series. So if you had to sit there weekly, like if it was a seasonal, and you had to go, oh, well, episode 17 through 22 make absolutely no sense, but fuck, they're cool. Like, it's like, would you really stick around doing it?
Yeah, I can see what you mean, actually. I guess that's a good point.
So yeah, I think Evangelion's going to continue on with their spin-off games, because there's been games for days. Like, Shinji's got, like I said, the Girlfriend of Steel games, other dating games. I think there's one or two where he's a detective. There's one or two that take place in like an alternate like school reality where they also introduce different girls. Like, I think Girlfriend of Steel had Mana, if I remember correctly. Right. And so... Ava's sure never going to die as a series.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's an orchestra somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're fine. I mean, it doesn't need to be another series. It doesn't need to be another movie. I think the cinematic universe, however you want to call it, is wrapped up nicely. And now whatever they do, if they want to maybe do a prequel with like Mari, Gendo, and Yui years or something like that.
That would be interesting.
That could be interesting. I'd like that more as like a short, like maybe half hour movie, like if they did like a whole box set of 1, 2, 3, and 4,
right.
Give us like a little bit of Mari backstory a little more. I'd be cool with that, but I don't really think we need much else. I think this did a really good job coming full circle with nearly 30 years of fandom.
More or less, yeah. Yeah, this almost 30 years.
So, yeah, it definitely did a really, really good job. So all four movies on a whole, the way it retold, the way it built, and the way it ended, it's for really, really good closure. It psychologically, it's smart. You know, right. Battle-wise, it was cool. Story-wise, it's compelling. Like, and you can kind of relate to some, at least one of the characters, you know?
Yeah, and it was good seeing the characters again with some different, and some changes to their actual character.
Yep, sometimes it's a name, sometimes it's a personality quirk, but it was nice to see how they evolved over the time, as well as the viewer. So
right.
It was a cool take.
And I believe we both ranked them the same, where the best one was the second one, then second best was the latest one, then the first movie, and then the third one.
Correct, yeah. 2, 4, 1, 3.
Yeah. Which, yeah, again, that's really the best way to go back, because, yeah, the second one was just great, especially with those final scenes.
Oh, yeah. And it's just like, the thing that puts 2 over the top for me, even though 4 is a nice bow on the story, 2 is its own thing. Like, you could stop watching after 1 and 2 and you can still feel like you have a complete story right there.
Right.
But 4 ties it up long term for fans of Neon Genesis and fans of the Rebuild series. So,
yeah, for the casual fan, you would stop at 2 probably.
Possibly, yeah. If you just wanted a nice retelling of Neon Genesis and didn't care about the extra stuff, 2 is fine. Like, 2, yeah. 2 tells a wonderful story, hits all the beats, things get tied up in a messy way, but it still gets tied. So yeah, it works. But 4 is good for the long-term fan who just kind of wanted to see where Anno was going with it.
And like a proper ending.
Correct. And he, for a change, didn't fuck with the kids. So like it was really just nice to see everybody get their way in a way.
I wonder if someone held them at gunpoint saying, don't fuck their lives up anymore.
I don't think they did.
It was like, stop it right now. Stop. Do not send that.
My understanding is that after the third movie came out, one of the manga artists put in an extra panel for shits and giggles of Mari in school with Gendo and Yui.
Right.
And at the time that came out, everybody swore up and down it wasn't canon. It wasn't something he was told to do. He just did it for fun. So I wonder if Anno saw that and he's just like, I like that.
Yeah, I think that is that would make a lot of sense in a way. So
because I remember a lot of the early interviews where Anno was struggling with himself on how he was going to make this story different, because he didn't want to just retell the same story. So that's why Asuka's name changed and the personality quirks changed, and that's why Mari got introduced, because they really needed another pilot in there just to change up the dynamic. And then
it worked.
I think that tie into the past, be it Anno's idea or be it the random illustrator's idea, like, I think that is just a gorgeous way to tie everything up, since Mari's whole gimmick was the fact that A, she liked old things, and B, she always told everybody that she was going to be there whenever they needed her, and to not worry, and she'll come in at the end. So, like, right. She was supposed to kind of be the guardian angel, in a sense.
Right.
And it was really fun. And I also like the fact that she gave Asuka and Shinji kind of cute pet names, which helped to lighten up things during like a giant battle where you're just getting your arms ripped off and murdering people. And she's calling Asuka princess and Shinji's puppy or doggy or something like that. Like it's a little off-putting, but it's just that right amount of levity to not make it so dark and depressing all the time.
Right. But yeah, whoever does want to watch this, it's all on Amazon Prime, all 4 movies. And then if you want to watch the Netflix dub, it's on Netflix.
Yup.
I'll try to find the original somewhere, but unless I had no choice but to do.
Yeah. Don't buy it unless the price has changed, because when I checked a couple years ago, it was still like insanely priced, because I don't think it was in very high print demand at first, because something weird happened with Gainax, if I remember correctly, because Anno and Gainax had a falling out.
Right.
I think that's kind of why printing on Evangelion or Neon Genesis stopped.
Yeah, I can see. Well, what you call it? The Britt Baker figure is selling for $550 right now, so I probably have some money.
There you go. That should cover the series at least. You, I don't know.
I think it needs to go $100 higher to get the end of.
Oh, maybe. Yes, you're not going to get instrumentality without like at least $600. You're right. That'd just be like, we'll I will see. Give you 20 out of 26 for $550.
Yeah. We will see. Oh, yeah, that is our review of Evangelion, the four movies. Again, we had a great time talking about it. We had a great time watching them. And I want to thank Andrew for coming on as my guest for the night. And we always have fun. We always have fun talking together. So this is nice to do it in this Dr. Keiki format. So, Andrew, thank you for being here with me in this.
Oh, anytime, especially if you finally get your co-host into something that happened before, like 2010. Like, you know, that'd be cool. We could probably chop it up
Well, soon we are looking for guests, so you're more than welcome to come anytime.
Cool.
Yeah, so
it better be older stuff.
It's probably going to be like a little bit of older stuff, questions and stuff like that. Kind of like how drive-thru.
Oh, I got you.
So probably it'd be like cakey shop or something.
I like that.
Yeah, so that might be like the thing, like where we have guests and then random questions and stuff like that, and talk about a little more older stuff. We're probably gonna do that around the fall. We'll see. We'll figure it out. I'm waiting on my goddamn OP song, so that I have to go somewhere else. I have not heard back from that guy in a month, so I'm probably.
Yeah, I was wondering what the status with that one was.
Yeah, I have not heard anything, so I'm looking on Fiverr because I heard Fiverr does shit.
That's actually a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, and someone actually said they'll do it for like $100, like a 2-minute
anime.
Yeah, no, that's probably a lot cheaper than what the other guy was going to give me. So, yeah, so I might just do that. I just got to wait a month for it to be delivered. That's fine.
Yeah, that's worth it, definitely.
Yeah, so I was gonna have Ethan send me half of that money.
That definitely makes sense. It is your show, you know, your two-man show. So you'd think it'd go 50-50.
Yeah, well, I would hope so. I'm sure hoping it's probably $50. If not, then... he needs a job.
Yes.
A better job.
True. That is very true. Like, come on. Give me $10 for 5 weeks. How about that?
like, give me the money slowly till it finishes.
Yeah, exactly. It'll and probably be done in about 5 weeks at $10 a week. That works, right?
The guy's time frame was about 40 days, so yeah.
There we go.
More or less. It's perfect.
I gave Ethan a nice installment plan, layaway plan, whatever you want to call it. Sounds good.
We did no commercials for this, but you know what? Fuck it. It's a special. Who cares? We don't need advertisements. Yeah, but... anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at DamianPhoenix12. I'm on there sometimes. I also plan on doing streaming. You can find me on Chair Shots, where I was writing for Japanese Wrestling, but since wrestling died, it's on a hiatus.
Wrestling died. That's nice. You just put the tombstone there. The little angel cross came up. You're like, I don't know. Third Impact hit Japan. It was called COVID, and all of it sucks now.
And all the booking went to shit. Kota Ibushi had a god complex. It didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, Kota Ibushi had the god complex. Evil's just a piece of shit. He ruined everything.
And Shingo's the only saving grace, but not enough to cover a whole show.
Not enough to cover Evil, because remember... Well, we're recording this on the 4th, so on the 5th, Shingo and Evil face each other for the title.
I swear, if Evil wins, I'm probably going to stop watching New Japan forever.
I will give Evil one small bit of credit, is that when he introduced Sho into the group on today's show, they had these t-shirts called House of Torture.
Yeah.
Okay, if House of Torture is his offshoot group, and then maybe they leave Bullet Club and become House of Torture... I don't hate that. Like,
I just want him away from Bullet Club.
I do too, because
that was a mistake.
Sad is that they're doing all the annoying, crappy shit that like Fale and the Tongans did.
And it doesn't fit Evil.
It doesn't,
especially how you seen Evil back then, where he would just go chair shot to the throat of a motherfucker on his own. Like, you don't need these people. He took down a lot big names by himself.
True. This is true. So hopefully he figures it out.
Yeah. Hopefully he does. We also want to thank W2M Network for having us on Spotify, and we want to thank the Chairshot Radio for having us on various forms where you find your local favorite podcast, like iHeartRadio, Apple Music, Audible. Andrew, your plugs.
On the Twitter, IWC War Chief, that's where you can find me, and writing on the Chairshot, where I still have to cover the Japanese wrestling and Impact Wrestling, because it's the issue with me being like one of the higher ups on website.
The main squeeze.
I can't just be like, hey, sucks, I'm done. Oh, I have to cover it anyway. Okay. But at least, you know, the good thing is I've also been covering album reviews, some music lately. And that's actually helped to keep things moving, you know, on a weekly basis, because I just covered Iron Maiden's new album that came out yesterday, Senjutsu. And it's just cool kind of mixing up different genres and some bands I haven't listened to in a hot minute that just happened to have a release this year.
Yeah, I actually read your Billie Eilish review too.
You know, I don't mind Billie Eilish as much as
I have to be in the mood for it, but if it's like plays so much like Nickelback, then it's annoying.
Oh, well, yeah, like Bad Guy's an annoying fun song. Don't get me
wrong.
But like her older stuff before that, like Ocean Eyes and Bellyache, like they're cute songs. And then this new album that she came out with, The Happier Than Ever, they're definitely songs to get sad to, which I suppose works for an Evangelion, you know, themed show that we end with one. But so you're not gonna listen to the Billie Eilish album in the car driving with friends to like something fun. No, but if you're sad and you need something to commiserate with, that's really good. It hits a lot of good points. And lyrically, her and her brother do a good job. So I give her a lot of credit.
Because I gave my partner that CD for their birthday. So
did they like it?
I would hope so. I didn't ask. But
well, at least they didn't hate
it. It's better than Megan Thee Stallion. So
a lot of things are Thee Stallion.
That was their Christmas credit. Their credit.
So sorry.
It's a white girl music to Gather Wop to Billie Eilish, but I love them.
It works.
Anyway, we've had our cakey. We talked our cakey. We're full of cakey. So until next time, me and Eve will be here on Monday. Arigato, anata ofaku, and sayonara.
If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, you need a team of experts by your side every step of the way. With the largest and most experienced lung cancer team in South Jersey, MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper gives patients personal care, innovative treatments like robotic surgery, immunotherapy, and groundbreaking radiation treatment, all close to home. MD Anderson at Cooper. No one fights cancer alone. Appointments available in 48 hours. MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper.
You knew the kicker was going to hook, right? That New York was going to beat New England in 07. And that Kansas City would come from behind in that Houston game. You don't know how you knew, but you knew. You just didn't do anything about it. Typico. Let's make this interesting. Join Tipico Sportsbook and get started with $7.50 at Tipico.com. Terms apply, 21 and over. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.